It's the JT the Brick Show, broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio.
Raiders bring a blitz. He takes it off the middle, and he's wrapped up from behind. Max Crosby.
Your silver and black home to sound off for over 25 years.
Open at the 35, racing to the 20, 10, touchdown Raiders.
And now, here's JT the Brick.
All right, JT, back with you as we continue on. Jump on in, the flagship of the Raiders, Raider Nation Radio. Busy day today. Pete Rose passed away yesterday. He was my friend, and I have a very heavy heart today, so I wanted to do mostly Pete Rose. I know people want to talk about speculation on Devontae Adams. I have nothing. If I had something, if Devontae texted me or called me or said, hey, get this out here, that'd be different. But I don't speculate on contracts, injuries, and especially injured players. That's another important topic here. Devontae's injured. Is there anyone in Raider Nation, anyone, who thinks Devontae Adams wouldn't play in a football game and fake an injury? Then you should just get out. You should just leave. Now, if you wanted to say, well, a team might want to move a player down the road and sit him out, like in baseball, you're going to trade a baseball player at 6 o'clock at night, you don't play him in the day game. He blows out his knee stealing a base. You can't trade him. I don't know exactly everything that's going on with feelings, people's feelings hurt or not. That's none of my business. But Devontae has been a brilliant warrior in this league. Kind of like Max and Iron Man, play at all costs, play through injury. And Devontae told Kay Adams about his injury. It's a hamstring, and he doesn't want to re-injure it or get it worse, so it becomes a significant injury. Like a hamstring tear, where he's out for the year, or he's out 6 to 8 weeks. Hamstrings are tough when you're a thoroughbred athlete. You look at Max on a high ankle sprain. I don't know what the status of Max is. I've been texting with Max on another issue that we're talking about. Nothing football related. I stay out of the way of football players when it's not my business. I don't ask about their injuries, their contracts. Those are two things I don't ask about. But a lot of other people speculate about it. There are a lot of bloviators on TikTok who don't have radio shows, who don't have much to do, don't know how to make a dollar, don't even know how they pay rent, and they're going to do 10 minutes on Devontae and his top five landing spots. I hope TikTok pays well. Hate to go back to my wife today and say, we got to pay for college on my TikTok income. Happy I don't have to do that. So where you want the Raiders to be is a win coming up. It would be very disappointing to me if the Raiders win, lose, win, lose, lose, win, lose, win, win, lose. I'm sick of that. Let's stack some wins. Now, I wish we had a couple home games. We blew the Carolina game. So the Raiders should be what going into this game? 3-1. So 3-1, if they, God forbid, lose to Denver, they're 3-2. No. They're 2-2 because they lost to Carolina. They got to beat Denver. And I went back and watched the entire Denver Bronco Aaron Rodgers game. Oh, my God, was it bad. I mean, it was hard to watch. And neither team could do anything except for Denver's defense. Denver was unbelievable against the run. We just had a good running game. We, the season ticket holders, 152 yards or whatever it was. Alexander Mattison and Zamir White. They played well together. They did. They had decent games. White fumbled the ball. For the rest of the week, starting tomorrow on Raiders Rundown, so our show Wednesday becomes a TV show. They take the first hour, Raiders Rundown. It's my monologue, Lincoln Kennedy, Antonio Pierce, and Levi Edwards. And then they carve it up and put it on a TV show, ABC, after college football. So I was sitting at home. Funny story. I'm sitting. That was why I'm bringing this up. Is I don't sit at home to watch a TV show that I'm on. Never have. But Saturday I did because I didn't go out. And I think the world put out a press release that JT didn't go out on Saturday night for once. So I didn't go out, and I'm watching the end of the Alabama Georgia game, which was amazing. And I knew they were going to get to the TV show at 8:30, called Raiders Rundown, and it's like 8:35. And Kirk Herbstreit's talking, and they're interviewing the coach. And I'm like, man, are they going to blow out this TV show? No, they played the whole thing. So we came on right after that, which was a lot of fun. So tomorrow, we'll go in there, and we'll do that show tomorrow. And we'll see what Antonio Pierce tells me. I would assume maybe you could do it better, because there are some people who think they're much better than me. Maybe you could just go up to Antonio Pierce and ask him whatever you want. Doesn't work that way. We can ask him pretty much whatever we want. But he's very short, very short. I asked him about business decisions. He said, we're good. Okay, I got to fill another 8.5 minutes. Better have my preparation ready. So what we're going to do tomorrow is I'll ask him about the status of Devontae on a Wednesday, Max, this and that, and then we're on to Denver and how to beat Denver. And there's going to be a lot of good things that I think he's going to want to get into on how they're playing, what they did, the good things that happened in the game, and we'll go with that. So let me get back to Pete Rose, my friend who passed away yesterday. When I say my friend, he was my friend, and I'm devastated that he died because I didn't think he would die. Normally, when you get into your 80s, sometimes, knock wood, you get an understanding that someone's going to pass. They might be in hospice. They might be, you know, getting to the end of life, and you drop everything and you go see that person. I didn't think that was the case with Pete. He was signing autographs Sunday at an autograph show with the Big Red Machine. But he succumbed to illness and passed away suddenly, and I choose to celebrate his life. So last night, Reggie Jackson got back to me, and Reggie came on my Mad Dog National Sports Talk show on Sirius XM. And we started off by me saying, I'm sorry for the loss of your great friend.
You know, I've had a bunch of people call me and, talk about, I just want to let you know I love you, man, and want to see if you're all right and how you're doing. I know you lost your buddy Pete, but I'm just glad I know you, et cetera. And I just today I was on the phone with Joe Rudy, a dear friend. And I'd missed him a couple of times calling him. He comes to my tournament all the time in Florida, but I hadn't talked to him, and his wife Sharon's birthday is coming up, so I called, and I was worried. I was a little nervous because I call him a few times, and I usually always get him a time or two, call or two in a day or so. But I didn't get him, but I just was starting to worry. But I had a great conversation with him. He's doing great. My worries were calmed. I was a little shocked today with Pete. I hadn't seen him in about 4 or 5 months, but I talked to him about 4 or 5 weeks ago, and he was talking to me about Reggie. I know you try. I know you say things. I know you got a lot of power. Could you think you could help call the commissioner? Do you think it's time or whatever? And, I'd promised him I would. I hadn't had a chance to talk to the commissioner. I did talk to the commissioner when I was down in Birmingham, but I haven't talked to him since. I think I might have talked to him a month later. Yeah. But, it's just kind of a sad thing there that he didn't get in the Hall of Fame. It's a lifetime ban, but maybe the ban goes away now since his life is gone. Can we put him in the Hall of Fame?
All right. Reggie, it's interesting because of the career you had and Pete's impact on the game of baseball. When did you start hearing about Pete Rose, noticing him, and appreciate Charlie Hustle, the baseball player on the diamond?
Pete's about 8 or 9 years old. He's 84, 85, 83.
83, yep.
So So I started hearing about Pete Rose the first year he was in the league, and a switch hitter, got a lot of hits, played second base, first base, third base, left field, played all over the place as second baseman when he first came up. But he played the game the way we all loved to play. And Pete had the image and had the style of dirty uniform, head first slide, gritty type guy, played every day. If you look at his career, he's played more games. He's got more this, more that, more bats and this and that. He told me one time, he said, Reggie, you played 21 years. I made more outs than you got at bats.
Wow.
He got 14,000 and some odd at bats. I got 92 or 9,300 at bats. He got 4,000 hits. I would have had to get 10,000 at bats for him to just have, but he had 11,000 more at bats than I did. A career. And my career, yeah. I mean, he had 3,000 or 4,000 more at bats than I did. But when he said that to me one day, he said, I made more outs than you got at bats. I mean, so that was Charlie Hustle. I don't think he ever got sick. He played 160, if he played 24 or 25 years, and of 16, I bet you 14, 15 years, he played 160. And I know, I think for, I want to say for 11 years, he got 200 hits. I'm not looking at any stats here now.
Right.
And I always used to make fun of him. I said, man, you need 4 hits to score a run, and I need 1.
That's
and then
true.
About in 1980 or something, when I was in New York, Topps made a baseball card that said Mr. Baseball, and it had my picture, okay? And I autographed it and sent it to his house. I said, Mr. Baseball, look, Pete, to my friend Pete. And because Topps had put the thing on there, Mr. Baseball, and he never lived that down. He never left. You ain't Mr. Baseball. I am. You crazy. All the strikeouts you had. He used to always say that to me.
Reggie Jackson joins us. Reggie, here's what I got to ask you. You're a 5-time World Series champ. I just want to hit on the 70s, 72 through 74 for you, 77 and 78 with my Yankees. And then I look at Pete, and Pete was the MVP in 75, and he won the World Series in 75 and 76. When you're winning World Series, he's not. When you're not winning, he is. That run of you and Pete Rose in the 70s just in the World Series, that's the memory of my youth. It was incredible.
Yeah, it was great stuff. You know, Pete was part of the Big Red Machine, and I'll never forget those guys from Pete to the center fielder, Griffey,
Concepcion.
George Foster, Joe Morgan, Concepcion, Tony Perez, and the great Johnny Bench. You know, arguably the greatest catcher of all time. And if you're going to argue it, then you got Yogi and you got Roy Campanella. And so take your pick. But I saw Johnny just a couple of days ago in Nashville. And so it's just so great to see some of the guys and Mike Schmidt and Johnny, but that Big Red Machine, my friend, was really something special. And of course, he played with several Hall of Famers. I played with Fingers. I played with Catfish Hunter. I played with near Hall of Famers like Nettles, and of course Thurman Munson, Ronnie Guidry, Gossage on those teams. Man, you're talking about some talent. It really was special. And just what Bert Campanaris, almost Hall of Famer, Joe Rudy, near Hall of Famer, Sal Bando, great player, Fingers, Hunter, Vida Blue Moon Odom, Kenny Holtzman. Those guys could play, man. And it was just so fabulous to be a part of it. And I used to see Pete every year. He'd go up to the Hall of Fame. I'd go up there. I hadn't been going very much lately. I've been a little disappointed with their lowering the bar, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But I always enjoyed seeing Pete, and when I got the call today, my heart sank. My heart sank.
Reggie Jackson is our guest. Mm. Yep. Reggie, let me jump in here.
Go ahead.
I was going to ask you about your All-Star appearances. 14 for you, 17 for Pete. Your first was in 69. His first was in 65. Pete cared more about winning those All-Star games. I mean, that was life or death. We had conversations when I co-hosted with him. What was it like being in the American League, going up against Pete Rose in the National League, knowing how badly he wanted to win those All-Star games?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, it was an honor to represent baseball and just go to the game And in I went 14 dimes or something like that. Mm-hmm. And in 8 or 9 of them, I played 9 innings. A lot of the guys now, they just go 1 at bat, 1 inning, and they get on their plane and they're going home. But when I went to the All-Star game, George Brett, myself, and Rod Carew, the man, league president, Lee McPhail, would come to you and say, "We haven't won a game in 5 or 6 years. Would you guys, the three of you, play the whole game?" And I just figured it was an honor to play against Mays and Aaron and Clemente. There was games there, man. You'd see Gibson and Marichal and Willie Stargell and Willie McCovey and Ernie Banks and Billy Williams. You kidding me? Al Kaline and Carl Yastrzemski, Tom Seaver, Fergie Jenkins, man, Bob Gibson. Man, come on.
Amazing.
It's fun to be there.
Reggie Jackson is our guest. Reggie, how did you come to grips when baseball banished Pete? He's your friend. You know his legacy as a player. For years, Pete wouldn't come forward and tell the truth about that. Then he had a book and he came clean. I always believed it was about forgiveness. He was a good friend of mine. I thought eventually people would forgive him the way we forgive politicians and rock stars and celebrities. But baseball's different. If you gamble on the game as a manager, and he was never accused of that as a player, and he played in your era, him being such a good friend and someone you respected, how did you deal with that topic?
I always admitted that Pete was wrong. I think Pete was wrong twice when he would fail to admit it. I really thought he should have went with a peace opportunity, a peace idea, a peace, whatever you call it, mm-hmm. and set it on the commissioner's desk and say, "I'm sorry, what do I need to do?" The first thing he should have done is said, "Help me get out. Help me with what I've done." But, you know, he was a little hard-headed. At the same time, you got to forgive sooner or later. And I hope that baseball does recognize that, you know, he should be in the Hall of Fame. And hopefully out of what he deserves and what I think that the public, the general public would want, I would hope that baseball would allow him to get into the Hall of Fame.
Reggie Jackson, as we wrap this up, Reggie, what are you going to remember most about Pete Rose?
I'll remember that he was always a joy for me to be around. He was always a lot of fun for me to be with. And he loved the game. He knew the game. Unbelievably, I'm going to repeat myself here, knowledgeable, but Pete was a great guy. Did he do some silly things and did he do some dumb things? Yes. But as far as being a good, solid person, a guy that always wanted to make up for his mistakes, he waited a little bit too late. But I think all of America would like to see Pete Rose going into the Hall of Fame, and just remember that Charlie Hustle was the guy that invented that name and played the game the way we should live life, hard and to win every time he stepped on the field.
Reggie, I'm sorry on the loss of your friend. Thanks for thinking of me tonight and checking in. I really appreciate you.
All right, JT. Take care, my friend.
That's Reggie Jackson from last night. We do have breaking news. Ian Rappaport, Raiders star wide receiver Devontae Adams, informed the team that he preferred to be traded, per me and Mike Garofalo. Breaking news from Ian Rappaport. I opened up the show. A lot of speculation on Devontae. Schefter and Ian Rappaport lead the way. Ian Rappaport reporting on this, and you're going to hear it from me, and I'm sure Q's going to have it. So this just came down from Ian Rappaport moments ago as I was playing that Reggie interview. Mike Garofalo, 5 minutes ago, NFL Network, important context on Devontae. Nothing imminent, but this certainly lays the groundwork for an eventual split. So the Ian Rappaport, 5 minutes ago, the Raiders are trying to win games, and there are plenty of scenarios where Devontae Adams stays in Vegas. But there are also scenarios where he's headed elsewhere and he'll have a market. So that is the breaking news that I can report on. You know, we've had Ian Rappaport on the show over the years. I respect everybody's opinion, but I wanted to give you that. I'm not going to shy away from that report from Ian Rappaport. So that just came down 5 minutes ago, and we'll see what happens later on today. Q, if he has anything in his show, and then we'll wait to see when I'm in the building tomorrow what's happening there. 702-365-9200. Pretty cool conversation with Reggie. Was really tight with Mark Davis, and just wanted to get to hear that along the way. Matt in Hoboken, New Jersey. What's going on, Matt?
What's up, JT? A quick word on Pete Rose, and I'd like to comment on Devontae also. So Pete Rose, one of the all-time greats, and may he rest in peace. Prayers out to his family. And I got to be honest with you, you know, me coming from Hoboken, where there was a bookie joint on each corner and a social club on each corner, I never had any problem with what Pete Rose did, as far as that's concerned. But that's just my own opinion. Not a lot of people probably would agree with that. But now on Devontae. I think there's a really good reason to trade him, and we all know the team's not going to take this next step until we get the franchise quarterback. Now, if we finish where I think we're going to finish, which is right around 500, maybe a little above, we're not going to get one of those premium picks in the draft up high. So, if we could acquire another first round pick for Devontae, it makes such logistical sense because we may need to package some picks to move up and get the eventual franchise quarterback. So logistically, I think it's a great, great move if we can pull it off for a first. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm not commenting on trading Devontae Adams on the flagship station of the Raiders. Thank you. I mean, that is a ridiculous thing to ask me. Ridiculous to ask me on the trade package for Devontae Adams. But you were able to do it. You're able to do it here, but I will not comment on any speculation on what could happen with a potential trade, as Mike Garofolo and Ian Rappaport both reported that this is not imminent, but this could be the structure, a beginning of a talk that could eventually move him. And, you know, when everybody who's speculating on what it will take and to do all that, I don't know. Maybe Q runs his show differently than mine. He runs a great show. I just know that I'm not going to take questions on trades for Devontae. For me. Because I have to work with Devontae, I work for the team, and I'm not speculating on him leaving. If he ends up leaving and there's a trade here and there's a trade partner and people have breaking news on a trade that's in the works, I probably will get it to you faster than anybody. I got all my computers open, my laptops here. I told you as quick as I could on Ian Rappaport's reporting coming up here. Now there's going to be speculation, and the speculation is going to be for mostly Raider fans on this topic. And have at it. Have at it, whatever you want to do. But again, show me the respect to at least not ask me what I think the market is for Devontae Adams. That doesn't work. Steve is in Fairfield, California. Go ahead, Steve.
Thanks, JT. You're a smart man, by the way. Anyway, in regards to the quarterback situation, I also agree we're falling short there. You know, if you looked at last year, our head coach was fired, as you know. Our OC was fired. Team was going down. AP had a big decision to make, and he benched Jimmy. He brought in AOC. Mm-hmm. AOC was pushed in as a rookie. He came in. We went 5-4. His last few games, he had 8 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Now you go to Minshew, on the other hand. He's the 26th worst-rated quarterback in QBR in the NFL out of 31 teams, 26th worst. He's a known quantity. He's been on 4 teams in 6 years. He's a backup. AOC, on the other hand, is not a known quantity. And I think he's earned the right to play this season.
Well, wait a second. Hold on. He did not earn the right in training camp. He did not separate himself in the preseason. So you think he earned something. Gardner Minshew got the nod. Now we can debate, which I did on the postgame show. I don't think he's playing well. If they would have lost a game against Cleveland, 1,000% you go to Aiden O'Connell, but he won the game. He was a part of the win, just like Aiden O'Connell was part of the win at Kansas City last year, which I talked about, and part of the all-time franchise record scoring points. But this is another a topic that's I'm good with. But if he was going to get benched, he'll be benched tomorrow because they had a victory Monday. They were off Monday. They're off today. Today's the off day. They're back. So by tomorrow afternoon when I sit down with the coach, tomorrow morning, we should know if he decides to go with Aiden O'Connell. I think they'll probably go with Gardner Minshew another week, but I'm not sure.
Wow. Okay. Well, I see your point there, but I mean, it's just that, you know, when the live bullets were flying, and I realize you got to do it in preseason in the training camp, but when the live bullets were flying in the regular season, he stepped up in a very precarious situation.
He did.
And I think the kid, I think if you look at the kid, he's dropped 20 pounds at least. He looks way better shape. I mean, I was down at SoFi Stadium, but in the other last game, game 2 games ago where he came in, he showed me something he didn't show me last year when he faked the pass and rolled out. I mean, he's an unknown quantity. He's a good kid. He's a smart kid. He's got a better arm. He's more accurate and a stronger arm. I think it's time to make the move. I hope the coach does it eventually.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. You know? Again, the coach will make the move on the quarterback if they need to. Would I be shocked if Aiden O'Connell started the next game? No. No, I believe that because he won the game, and he didn't play well in the fourth quarter at all, Gardner Minshew. They couldn't get anything going in the fourth quarter. They gave Cleveland multiple opportunities to come back and win that game. They did. And I don't think that Gardner played very well. So if they lost a game, we would not be talking about Gardner Minshew today. I doubt it. If Gardner Minshew lost to the Browns because Deshaun Watson scored, and he should have scored because he had a wide-open receiver and he missed him, then we're not talking about Gardner. The Raiders are 1-3. Now Gardner can play in Denver. Now here's another interesting point. Bo Nix is a mess. He threw for 60 yards. 60. 60 in the game. I would rather have an experienced quarterback beat Bo Nix than a quarterback that hasn't played all year and might need a game to get going. But I don't know. Maybe Aiden can come in and throw for 4 touchdowns. The breaking news is Ian Rappaport on Devontae Adams. That Devontae Adams, according to Ian Rappaport, 14 minutes ago, informed the team. He said Adams informed the team that he preferred to be traded. We'll see what the Raiders' reaction is to that in the building when they make a reaction to this, because earlier today, Devontae did not say this. It would have been broke at 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 in the morning that he requested a trade. Are the Raiders interested or not now that he's interested in a trade? Could that change everything? Absolutely. We'll stay on this story and the life of Pete Rose as the all-time hit king passed away. We are brought to you by the M Resort Spa and Casino, the home official hotel of the Silver and Black.
There's a line shot to center. Here's a man rounding third. Here comes the throw. It is not in time. The other runners advance, and the Reds have tied it and have runners on second and third. Griffey scored easily. Lynn's throw was wide of the plate. Armbruster raced to third, and Rose went down to second on the throw to the plate.
Here's the ball hit out to Freddie Lynn, center field. Griffey with a good speed off second. Nobody in cutoff position for the Red Sox. A fundamental mistake allowing a runner, Pete Rose, to go into second.
1975 World Series. So 1975 World Series, I am 9 years old. A Yankee fan, getting ready for the Yankees to win the World Series, right, with my heroes. And I watched that World Series, and there was a rain delay in what the series got pushed back. And I remember sitting over at my buddy Tommy Mignani's house in Massapequa, Long Island, watching that game. And Pete Rose and Carlton Fisk and Fred Lynn and Dwight Evans and, God, the plays, Johnny Bench. And Yaz, and being a Yankee fan going, man, I wish my team could play there. And I thought the Red Sox could have won that World Series, but they lose to Pete Rose. And we're celebrating Pete Rose's life today. Tashawn Reed reporting 4 minutes ago. I can confirm the Raiders, Devontae Adams requested a trade. As Ian Rappaport and Mike Garafola reported, the timing was a surprise. The Raiders 2-2. Are coming off a win, but this has been brewing for a while. Adams wants to win, and Las Vegas is just 16-22 since he's arrived. That's from Tashawn Reed. Q will be on from 2 to 4. We're covering the world champion Aces as they're playing the Liberty in New York. So programming update. Q's going from 2 to 4 at 4 o'clock. T.C. Martin on the call for the world champion Aces. They're trying to even the series. Lou in Anaheim. What's going on, Lou?
JT, how you doing today? I wanted to congratulate you and thank you for that interview with Reggie. And those were magical moments for me because I'm an older person, but I do remember that, and that was so exciting. You took us back to that time. I appreciate that. And the other thing I wanted to mention is just an observation from a fan.
Mm-hmm.
As far as Devontae, I noticed a level of frustration. And then I don't know if it's just me, but a certain type of arrogance. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I can call it that, but it's just what I see. And Antonio's not going to go for that.
Mm-hmm.
Antonio's going to tell it like it is. And I think that it just appears that there's a difference as far as mm-hmm. where they're going. And Antonio's going to be – I don't see the Raiders moving on from him. The players listen to him.
Mm-hmm.
But there is players who have an ego,
yeah.
and expect something that's not there right now, and so I think the best thing would be just to go his own separate ways. But Antonio Pierce is not going anywhere. I think mm-hmm. the owner realizes that. We need the kind of coach to tell the players the way it is.
Look, I don't know if Devontae, everything changes now with Mike Garofalo and Ian Rappaport's performance. Reporting, if he's requesting a trade, okay, and that's confirmed. Remember, Devontae hasn't confirmed this, and the Raiders haven't confirmed this. But I have enough respect for Ian Rappaport that I'm not going to hide that report from you. I'm obviously going to mention and read it to you, but there's got to be more. There's got to be some type of comment eventually coming out of the building if this is the case. As of this morning, the Raiders were not shopping him. That's a fact. They were not. The Raiders, I know that to be confirmed. When I went on the air, that the Raiders today did not take a call or were shopping Devontae. That is fact, and I reported that. Things changed during my show or 2 or 3 hours, and Devontae's in the building now and having a conversation with Tom I'm not aware of. But we'll see. It all come out. It all comes out, everybody. It all comes out. And again, and what one of the things we're not going to do here is we're not going to rip on Devontae, who's a member of this team and a captain. So if it gets to the, we'll wait for Devontae to go to the microphone and we'll get a comment from him before we start taking calls and fans saying, get him the hell out of here. He sucks. He doesn't suck. He's great. He's going to the Hall of Fame already. Okay? He came here with great intentions. You know, I hope Devontae stays here and plays. He's a hell of a player. I've been a big fan of Devontae. Lou. We had Lou. We'll go to Josh in North Las Vegas. Hello, Josh.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Good.
All right. I know the news has changed, but let me give you my mm-hmm. – me and you disagree because you're cranky Yankee, and I'm not – I'm from Philly, so I do not like the Yankees.
Okay.
It's all good. When he came and we won the 1980 World Series, that was my – I was 16 years old, okay? I went to games. My dad used to take me to games when I was 7, 8, 9, 10. He changed – that was my greatest sports mm-hmm. moment until the Eagles won the Super Bowl mm-hmm. a couple years ago. Up until then, that stood because, you know, they lost. The Phillies lost. The Eagles lost. I mean, the Phillies won again. I get it. But that 1980, and I love Larry Bowe on there. He's one of my studs. I went to Tim McGraw's concert, and I actually gave his people a baseball card of his dad, Tug McGraw, from 1980. Now, whether he got it or not, I handed it to him in an envelope. But I can name you every member on that roster, mm-hmm. and Pete Rose was instrumentally,
yes.
I was 16,
mm-hmm.
instrumentally responsible for that World Series. Bottom line, buddy. Love your show. Later.
Thank you. Yeah, that's what we wanted to do today. There's a lot of rumors and speculations with the Raiders, but we wanted to cover Pete's life. Ian Rappaport reporting 5 minutes ago, Von Miller of the Buffalo Bills is suspended 4 games without pay for violating the NFL's personal conduct policy. Von Miller. What a crazy year in football, man. Ari Mirov, another guy I trust a lot. Ari's been on the show. He's on often with Q. Devontae Adams has 2 more years left on his contract. But when you look at the contract details, he's essentially in the final year of his deal right now in Las Vegas. So we'll see what happens here. And, man, Tom Pelissero, 7 minutes ago, the NFL also suspended Mike Hall Jr. of the Cleveland Browns 5 games. Without pay for violating the personal conduct policy. Hall Jr. has been on the commissioner's exempt list. He'll be eligible for reinstatement on Monday, October 7th, following the team's 5th game. So a lot of news coming in today. and further confirmations coming in. Mike in Jersey. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, JT. What's going on? Couple of points I want to make on the Davante Adams situation. Number one, I just feel like the national media wanted this ever since the receiver thing came out. I feel like the national media likes to disrespect the Raiders, pick on the Raiders. I mean, and I'm just fed up with it. Well, the national media, if this story's true, you got your wish. Number two, as far as if Davante Adams wants to trade, we should not trade him to the AFC. We should, you know, let him go to New Orleans, let him play with Carr. And I feel like in Devontae's case, I'm going to defend him. I'm looking at both ends of it. He got fooled coming here because he thought he was going to come here and play with Carr, and Josh McDaniels just messed the whole thing up. Okay? Mm-hmm. And an unrelated point, too, as well. Let's say the Raiders are losing Sunday in Denver. Do you think he pulls Gardner and brings in O'Connell? And back to Adams, one more point. Mm-hmm. The Raiders played so inspirational, and I said to myself, maybe it's time to shop him. Maybe it's not a perfect fit after Sunday's game. And rest in peace, Pete Rose, and I hope the Yankees go somewhere. Thank you.
First off, you're not a better team without Devontae. Stop it. You're not better without Davante Adams. He's one of the best players in the league. If you end up moving on from him eventually, if there's there's a pass here and they can't come to terms or whatever happens, we'll deal with it when it happens. But you're better with Davante Adams, number one. That will not change my mind here. And we show respect because we have nothing official yet from the Raiders. Just a bunch of reporters all reporting on the fact that Davante Adams requested a trade. But we haven't got that confirmation from the Raiders. But it's leading now on SportsCenter, okay? So I'm not going to sit here and act like it's not happening. When it comes to the scenario going forward about the quarterback, you better believe it. If this team is losing and they need a spark in the first quarter, second, third, fourth, you go with Aiden O'Connell. If you think at that point you have to have a spark. Remember, I said this last week. The only time you want to bring in Aiden O'Connell officially to start is when you have to have a spark. You brought him in the fourth quarter of that other game. That was for nothing. That was mop-up duty. That was exactly like putting a pitcher in a baseball game when the score is over and the game is over and you're just bringing in a pitcher to get some work in. So don't look too far into that. But he looked all right when he came in the game. He did. He looked okay. But when you need a spark, that's when you should do something bold, not when you don't need a spark. And they might need a spark in Denver or against Pittsburgh. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers. I got the full menu in front of me, the box combo. I like the Caniac combo, the three-finger combo, the sandwich combo, and the kids combo. I mean, look at this. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, proud partner of our show, proud partner of UNLV football. UNLV is playing the Cuse. They got an opportunity for you to buy your tailgate food and your chicken fingers before your UNLV tailgate as Syracuse is coming to town. And I love the fact, man, that lemonade's the best I've ever had. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, proud partner of our show, the world of Cane's. You know, you can go shopping at the Cane's website, raisingcane's.com. Get some mugs, some glasses. Fantastic. If you're a Caniac like me, you do it. And they're right next door. They have a location everywhere. Everywhere. And if you're looking for work or you're looking to do something in your community, it's all there at RaisinCane's.com. Christopher Mad Dog Russo, big name, coming up next.
Everybody on their feet here in Cincinnati and a worldwide television audience watching these moments tonight here at Riverfront Stadium. 2-1 pitch from Shaw in the left center. There it is. Rose has eclipsed Cobb. That's number 4,192.
Pete Rose on his way to becoming the all-time hit king. He passed away yesterday afternoon at the age of 83. You know, I work on Mad Dog Sports Radio, the channel on Sirius XM 82. The channel is named after Christopher Mad Dog Russo, who joins us. And Dog, wanted to get some comments on your friend Pete Rose and the impact he had on your life.
Good job, JT. Reminds me a lot of Jimmy Connors. You know, just his whole attitude, played every point like he was broke, Jimmy. And the same thing with Rose. He reminded me a lot about a lot of Connors, that similarity. Listen, a tremendous competitor. No, I wouldn't call him a friend. I used to have him on a lot, and he used to like me because I always thought that he should be in the Hall of Fame, and the fact that he isn't is stupid. I mean, how he can't be in the Hall of Fame is absolutely absurd. Baseball looks terrible with that, with all the nonsense they do with the gambling stuff now and the folks they got in there. I mean, Rose should be in the Hall of Fame. I'm not saying he should have been able to manage again, but he should have been in the Hall of Fame a long time ago. But he was a guy that if you were an opponent of the Reds, it's the best way to look at it, you couldn't stand. I mean, I was a Giant fan in the 70s, and I hated the Reds. Couldn't stand them. A, they were too good, and B, he was too competitive. And he used to kick our ass all the time, and he used to drive me crazy. So I never was a Pete fan. I appreciated Pete. I knew how good he was, but I was never a huge fan. But he would do anything he could to beat you. That famous slide, of course, with Ray Fosse in an All-Star game, which scored the game-winning run off the Jim Hickman single in the bottom of the 11th or 12th inning in Riverfront. The hitting streak, which was tremendous. You know, if anybody was ever going to catch DiMaggio, it was going to be Pete, who got, what, the 44? If anybody was going to catch DiMaggio, Rose could have been the guy to do it because of the idea that he loved the attention. He was great with the media. I was in Cincinnati in this ballpark when he broke Cobb's record. He went 0-for-4 the first day, and then he did it the second day. And I was amazed. I was a young kid. I was 25 years old. I was amazed how Rose had all the writers. I'm talking Dick Young. I'm talking about Red Smith. I'm talking about Dave Anderson. I'm talking about some of the heavyweights that you can ever think of in the writing profession, how he had him eating off the palm of his hands. Hal McCoy. I mean, basically all two or three days, he loved the attention. In the famous story about Pete when they lost the famous game 6 to the Red Sox on the Fisk home run in 75, he walked into the visiting clubhouse at Fenway and he said, "God, what an unbelievable game that was. God, it was so great to be part of." So you think maybe the Reds would be all bummed out, and here's Rose walking into the clubhouse, you know, overjoyed that he was able to participate in that game. Then of course the next night they're down 3-0 and they turn out beating three nothing. They won 4-3. I think it was 4-3. Yep. They beat him by a run on the base hit by Morgan in the top of the ninth inning. And then he goes to the Phillies, and he was the missing link with them. They had come up a little short in postseasons in 76, postseasons in 77, lost to the Dodgers in 78, and he gets there in 80, and they end up, I think he was there in 79, which they didn't win, but he got there in 80. It may have been his first year. He got there in 80, and they won the championship, and he was the missing ingredient for guys like Schmidt, Lozinski, Boa, people like that. So, listen, he's an all-timer, unbelievable singles hitter, greatest competitor you've ever seen in your life, won an MVP, played with Vader Pinson and Frank Robinson in Cincinnati, hometown hero, father, dropped dead of a heart attack when he was in 1970. A lot of people thought that if his father stayed, was alive, he never would have had this mess that he had 15, 18 years later. Made a ridiculous decision to take that suspension. And, of course, he handled it horrifically, wrote this stupid book where he finally admitted his guilt. It was a disaster. I mean, he handled his life so poorly. But as far as his baseball playing ability is concerned, not a better competitor that I ever saw in my life than Pete Rose, JT.
Last one. How did you handle and pivot from his great career, and you're an historian and you know this and you saw him, to the breaking news with Giamatti and his banishment from baseball and this huge topic for decades on the potential enshrinement into baseball's Hall of Fame or not?
I think the really weird one, JT, was, remember, he got suspended late summer of 89, and Giamatti died about a month later. So everybody blamed Pete for causing all this stress for Giamatti. And maybe that had something to do with him having a heart attack. And don't forget, Giamatti smoked 3 packs of cigarettes a day. I'm sure that had something to do with it, too. But he kicked Rose out. And I think it was about a month later. You have to look at the exact dates. He died over Labor Day weekend of 1989. And I think Rose was about a month before. But that was a big topic at the time, JT. You're old enough to know. that yep. everybody tried to tie in the Rose thing with Giamatti, which kind of was unfortunate for Rose. But listen, Rose did not handle himself correctly. If he came out right away and admitted that he had gambled as a manager, and he had done that immediately and, you know, got himself some help, he'd be in the Hall of Fame today. So he, in a lot of ways, is his own worst. He was his own worst enemy there by deny. And then finally, when he admitted it 8-9 years later, he did it via a book and didn't do it regarding the, you know, the proper way. So, I mean, because he was a mess with it. You know, he had a lot of issues off the field. But as far as his baseball, I mean, as far as him between the lines, he is one of the great competitors I've ever seen. And that's the bottom line. I know you just had Reggie on. He probably said the same thing.
Appreciate you, dog. Thanks for thinking of us. Thanks for everything you do for us. Appreciate you.
Good job, JT. Thank you, buddy.
That was Christopher Mad Dog Russo, who's a big name in sports, on the life of Pete Rose. May Pete rest in peace. This is not the last time I'll ever talk about my friend, but I thought he deserved a lot of content today from us. More on Devontae Adams and NFL and Ian Rappaport reporting that he prefers a trade. Q's coming up next. That is a big storyline, and he'll have it all covered for you. I'm going to get that in the pool. I'm going to have maybe a cerveza, Modelo, and enjoy my life and the rest of the day. That's what I'm going to do today. Tomorrow, the head coach and Raiders rundown. It'll be on the Raiders YouTube channel, the first hour, and simulcast, of course, here on Raider Nation Radio.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.